The City Never Makes Us Beg. Written by Space Ace and read by K-Burb. This is a Danny Phantom Batman crossover fic, rated general audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Gotham City and Jazz, Gotham City and its residents, Gotham City and Alfred, and a one-sided Gotham City slash Alfred.
Plants with singing petals, women with long, long legs, demons drinking water, and angels drinking cakes. The light behind the buildings as we sip sunlight to the dregs. We're animals that love the city.
This is part one of Your Heart's a Foreign House. Chapter one. Use the rubble for the parts.
This is my favorite part of the star. Not the fire, but the sparks. Hold your breath, let loose your heart. We burn ourselves to ashes. Lighting fires in the dark. River jagged like a scar. We burn ourselves to ashes. Use the rubble for the parts.
Gotham loved all her children fiercely. Every single parent working three jobs, every corrupt politician lining their pockets with taxpayer money, every exhausted student scraping by on rent, every doctor, drug dealer, lawyer, and killer. She loved them all, even those she hated beyond words, beyond ability to comprehend, those of her children so filled with evil not even a mother's love could excuse or condone. Even those she still loved. They were all pieces of herself, as much a part of her as her cracked pavement and unruly parks and dirty cobblestone street skin, as the smoke and smog and storming haze of her hair, as the glint of her stained glass and CCTV eyes. Her populace made her as much as she made them, over years more cursed than blessed, shaping her with their stubbornness and pride and strength. She did not love equally, though. It was not something that guilted her. That all children should have equal parts affection were concerns of living things. And though it could never be argued that the spirit of Gotham was anything but alive, it is not the same as being living. She is a city spirit, first and foremost. Her children are counted in the millions, and though she knows every second of every life that calls her home, there are those that she gives more of her love to than others. Her bats and birds, who flit around her jagged skylines and down her shadowed streets and give all of themselves to trying to protect so many, were first in her heart. She loved them dearly, wanted to do everything in her power to care for them as they cared for her. Had done everything when it became clear that she hadn't power enough. A deal with the King Infinite could be a dangerous thing. A great risk only the most reckless were willing to entertain. But the king that had instilled such an apprehension in the infinite realms was gone now, stripped of crown and ring and title, consumed in his entirety by his conqueror, though it had taken time and a great deal of danger for the new king to complete that rite. Pariah Dark was a bad memory. Phantom was something else. And Gotham was willing to be a little reckless in trusting the whispers of her dead that their new ruler was a fair and kind one. That his obsession was not with power, but with protection. That the king could use a little protection himself, on the mortal side. She'd made an offer, a deal. The king's grave mother accepted on their grave's behalf. If it was, perhaps, a little underhanded to speak with the Queen Mother rather than the King himself. Well, Gotham was born of shady deals. The language of slanted agreements was her first. She could craft contracts that would put any fae or demon to shame. She was Dark Pax made manifest, as much as she was her populace when it came down to it. It was a good deal, though. Equal and fair for both sides. She had been born of human kindness and empathy, too, though they were not as easy a touchstone for her. The king was kind and hurt and in need of a protector of his own. His grave were doing their best, but Haffa were things between. They could not live on only one side of the veil completely. They needed a place on the mortal side, where they would not need to fear being hunted. Gotham could give them that. Gotham could be that. What she asked for in return wasn't so great a price. If, perhaps, upon the king in his grave taking up residence within the bounds of her populace, she gained more than just the power she asked. A mere coincidence, surely. The other city spirits were just bitter that their more straightforward populace hadn't allowed them to think of such a scheme, to claim anything else. Jealousy was such an ugly thing, really. Besides, she thought it worked out equal enough. Companionship for some of her lonely birds meant companionship for the king and his grave as well. Even if it took a bit of nudging to get them all to fall in place. It was a mother's right to meddle in the lives of her children, after all. Her duty to help ensure they found good partners. And she was hardly the first parent to feel that nothing short of royalty was good enough for her children. Chapter 2. Blessings of a Goddess with No Face.
And it feels like a good, good omen. Never been much of a good, good woman. But good things are coming. Good, good things are coming. Bloom beneath the blessings of a goddess with no face.
The nightingales appear in the Bowery one day in the summer. There had been no moving truck, no arduous trips carrying boxes and furniture up the 5 flights of stairs to their apartment, no picking up keys from the super. There hadn't been any paperwork done either, for that matter. They had simply appeared, fully settled into an apartment that had been empty for 3 years. An apartment kept empty by the building's owner for the purpose of ensuring that no one heard his late arrivals through the fire escape after a long night of vigilantism and crime lording. The family's sudden, unexplained arrival should have been a cause for alarm, a sign of something wrong, a reason to investigate. But that idea simply slipped away as soon as it came. Clarity found a moment and a blink later. A shake of the head to clear the muzziness that suddenly crept at the edges, and that was that. Too much work, too little sleep. He was getting as bad as Tim. The Nightingales had moved in the day before, Jason recalled, while Red Hood had been busy tracking down a drug ring that had been stupid enough to creep into his territory. The apartment had been leased by accident. The fact that it wasn't available for rent missed until it was too late. The family was already unpacking their belongings and trying to figure out what was going where and who was getting which room. A stupid mistake, but not the end of the world. If anyone in the neighborhood had been asked, they most likely would remember the moving van, the boxes, the family. There was no other way they could have moved in without these things, without being seen. The details were a bit vague. People move all the time. Who really pays that much attention to those things, especially in the Bowery? But the memories were there. And Jason remembered doing a background search on them. He remembered reading the dull court reports of Dr. Jasmine Nightingale's messy custody battle with her parents over her 2 younger siblings. Of how her older brother's short stint in jail after getting into some fights when he was younger kept him from being able to throw his own hat into the ring for custody. The records showing her 2 younger siblings getting scholarships to Gotham Academy, explaining them attending such a good school, even though the Nightingales really didn't have the money for it. A family moving to a new city in the hopes of a fresh start, far away from the place and the people who had hurt them. He remembered these things. He did. And even if he didn't recall everything, he still had the files and his notes. It was lucky that he hadn't deleted them once he'd done his snooping, for all the latest concussion had left him with gaps in what he'd learned on the Family of Four. If attention tended to shift away from the new family, well, that was just how Gotham was, wasn't it? Staring could start a fight with the wrong people, could make bats and birds looking at security footage later think you saw something and want to talk, could make folks you didn't want the attention of think you knew something you shouldn't and try to get rid of you to cover their trail. The Nightingales moved to the Bowery one day in the summer, hauling up furniture and boxes the 5 stories of steps to their apartment, the one they'd been lucky to get thanks to a mistake that hadn't been caught until it was too late. A broken family, trying to put the pieces back together after hardship, trying to keep their heads down, just get through the days. Same as anyone else this side of the city. It was a little annoying to have to be a little more careful with his nightly activities, but Jason can't find it in himself to evict them. He knew their story, read between the lines to see the hell they'd been through to get where they were. It was tough having to start over, let alone in a place like Gotham. Last thing his new neighbors needed was getting evicted the day they moved in after finally finding a place they could afford, let alone find one with rent as low as Jason kept it for the hurting families that called his building home. Mike at the bodega at the corner mentioned the new family that moved in when he grabbed breakfast. Old Mrs. Novak on the first floor muttered grumpily about the noise they made carrying their things up while he fixed her hot water problem. Marv apologized again about not catching sooner that the place they'd signed the lease on had been on the no-rent list as they went over the books. The Nightingales were noted, then dismissed. Living in Gotham meant there were always bigger things to be worried about. There was no reason to pay much attention, save perhaps Jason's interest in tall women with red hair that looked like they could throw him across the street. The Nightingales were a normal family. Gotham made sure of it. Chapter 3. Better demons have gone the way they came.
Left now, hung over on the train. And it feels like a good, good omen. Never been much out of a good, good woman. But good things are coming, good, good things are coming.
Gotham loved all her children fiercely. She did not love equally, though. Her bats and birds, who braved her dark corners and waltzed with death down her bloodstained streets in the effort to keep her and her children safe, were held closest in her heart. There was nothing she wouldn't do for them, to give them back the care and love they gave her. For them, she had crossed the veil, braved the uncertainty of the King Infinite, caught a fledgling god in a snare, and bound him with a promise. She loved them above all others, except...
I can't tell you how happy I was when I received your letter that you'd be returning to Gotham.
Lapsong So-Chong filled the air with hints of smoke and pine, dancing with the softness of lilies in the vase and the sweetness of the dark chocolate and raspberry cake. Sun slanted in through the window, glittering over the fine porcelain and making their shadows sway in an easy dance upon the far wall.
It really has been far too long, Joni.
Alfred Pennyworth's hand settles upon hers, and she loves. There was only ever one who meant more to Gotham than even her beloved bats and birds.
I've missed you terribly, she told him,
heart-bleeding truth as she settled her other hand atop his, cradling it between her own.
I'm so glad I'll finally be able to stay. It breaks my heart to be away for so long.
It took a great deal of power for a city spirit to fold themselves up into something as small as a single human. Greater still, to make the shape look human, too. Before, she'd only been able to manage it in stolen hours. Once an entire night when enough things had aligned and the world had been flush with power. A solstice here, a celestial event there, scraping carefully at the excess energy of the curse she had been built upon. It was taxing and dangerous. Taking a mortal body made her mortal, in the way that shape and form were not always the same thing when it came to magic and spirits. It had been well worth all the risk, though, to spend those stolen moments with him. Father of her most cherished children, who cared for them as deeply and completely as she did, caring for them as she'd never fully been able to. It was inevitable that she'd come to love Alfred Pennyworth most of all. It was inevitable, too, that she would be desperate to protect him from the one threat neither he nor his brood could fight into submission. Humans were wonderful creatures. Their shared will and drive and imagination was an incredibly powerful force in the many universes. They'd made gods out of their belief, miracles out of their stubbornness, realities out of their dreams. They'd made her, slowly and steadily, carving something beautiful and strong out of the cursed land she'd been built upon. It was easy to forget that they were still mortal. It was handed down from his father's side, a bloodline curse cast by genetics rather than any mage. A wasting, painful disease that would have his body cannibalizing itself over the course of too short a time to be stopped. The children would do everything they could, and it wouldn't be enough. And when her beloved passed, he would take with him all the hope Gotham had left in her. She was a mother of millions. Her children died every day. She'd seen generations of them pass over the centuries. She'd never mourned them. They were hers, whether living or dead. Not him, though. Gotham would mourn him, and knew she could not survive the grief of it all. She patted his hand, and he smiled at her as he moved to refill their tea, the light in his eyes a little brighter as she slowly, carefully, siphoned the power she'd been given by a fledgling god out of herself and into him. Shooing away the shadows of the threat before it could take hold, ushering longevity and life into his body so that he may live as long as she needed him to. They sat and laughed and enjoyed themselves as she did everything in her power to ensure his life was a long and happy one. Ensuring his favorite lapsang sochang was always in supply, that the lilies he selected from the florist were always the most fragrant and beautiful. The sun bright and the day clear, so that he could enjoy his favorite spot out in the garden at its best. All the things she could do so easily for him now. Their shadows on the wall swayed with the light that drifted in. He did not see as hers grew long, lost the familiar human form, and instead seeped into the shape of something far too large to ever fit neatly within a single mortal's skin. It took a great deal of power for a city spirit to fold themselves up into something as small as a single human. Greater still to make the shape look human, too. Once this would have been beyond her, not anymore. She had what she needed now. What the Queen Mother had promised, the King Infinite had given. A deal made fairly, if not entirely honestly. Gotham was made by a populace as stubborn and strong as they were crafty and underhanded. Doublespeak was her native tongue. She asked for the means to keep her children safe, spoke of her fear, of loss, of wanting to protect those she held most dear. Those things were true, but not honest. The king in his grave did not need to know her intentions to steal a mortal man away from death, to elevate him slowly into her equal. Gotham loved all her children fiercely, but not equally. There was one, ever one, that could be father to those she loved most. Only one who could love them in the human ways she was incapable of. Alfred Pennyworth would live forever. Gotham would accept nothing else. The end.
An apartment when it's empty, echoes lovely, bright and clean. Sing modes to bright blue water that we stole, so it comes free. All things end, it's part of living. Forest fires feed the trees. Lift your glasses full of sunshine.